Welcome to Off the Cuff. We're back after a little bit of a break. John and I are back, and we are ready to record for 2023. I'm Dean Vitale, and joining me always is our lifelong pastor, John Bell. How you doing, John?
Doing really well. Glad to be back together.
Yes, me too. I mean, really, we've got a great lineup scheduled, and we're excited to bring Off the Cuff back. And we've had people say, hey, when are you guys going to get back to work? It wasn't us. We've had some technical difficulties, but we hope everything works out from here. So, John, I've been looking at last times, and I've been searching the scriptures, and I've come across something that I knew nothing about. So, John, I'm going to ask you, in scripture, what is the red heifer?
All right, so think of it like this. The reason it is so important is because the red heifer is connected to the temple, the ancient temple, Solomon's temple, and then later on, Herod built a second temple. So we've had two temples. They've both been destroyed. Now we are waiting for a third temple. Scripture says that the temple is going to be rebuilt. And that's important because the red heifer is connected to the sacrificial system of the temple. Specifically, you need the ashes of a red heifer mixed with water that's been purified and consecrated. And it's mixed and then offered as a sacrifice to consecrate or to purify the congregation of Israel. Specifically, anyone in the congregation that has come in contact with a dead body, because death and touching, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, made you ceremonially unclean. And when we say ceremonially, that just means that a lot of the ceremonies specifically described in the book of Leviticus are pictures to tell us what God requires of us and what we have to do in order to stand before God and have our sins, have any misdemeanor or violation or sin removed from us. So specifically the red heifer, here's what would happen. Here's an interesting point. There have been nine red heifers that have been burned, I think, since the time of Moses, because the tabernacle also used the same kind of practice. But they would create ashes out of the red heifer, and then they would store it in a storage pot, and then it was kept outside of the camp of, or outside the city, outside the camp of Israel. Then whenever they needed the ashes, they would retrieve them and mix them with water, and again, it was part of the sacrificial system. So here's the connection, Dean. And every few years you'll read about something about the red heifer. I believe that recently in the news, you and I both read this same thing, that three red heifers were delivered to Israel. Now, they have to be completely red. There can't even be two white hairs. It has to be a female, obviously. No yolk, no calf. So this heifer has to be ceremonially clean as well. So recently, I think two or three red heifers were delivered to Israel, and that's where everybody all of a sudden said, wait a minute, red heifers, does that mean that the temple is going to be rebuilt? And by the way, if you want to read more about the cleansing, I think it's Numbers chapter 19. But the whole idea is if you touched a dead person, you were ceremonially uncleaned, and the only thing that would remove it was red heifer. And why a red heifer? Because the red heifer club is a very exclusive club. You know, it's like So that's kind of the connection. I'm trying to make it as.
But I'm confused because, okay, so if you touched a dead body mm-hmm. in the event that you did, mm-hmm. and so it makes you unclean.
Ceremonially so being, unclean. In other words,
so
you could
what
not.
Does that mean? What are the consequences of being ceremonially
well,
unclean?
Well, you weren't allowed into. Well, here's the great thing. The reason that they have the ashes of the red heifer is even if no one knew that you had touched a dead body, like you weren't disqualified, because they were going to automatically offer a sacrifice for anyone in the congregation that had touched, come in contact with a dead body. And right, there's so a way in which, and this is the tie-in to Jesus the Messiah. Just as the red heifer brings cleansing to the person who has touched a dead body, so Jesus brings cleansing to us, because there's a sense in which we have been condemned. There's a certain sense in which we have come in contact with death. And we have no standing, no right to stand before God. But because Jesus, like the red heifer, has been sacrificed, he cleanses us from anything to do that is connected to death. Because he is life. He's the author of life. And his sacrifice cleanses us from. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So where's the tie-in for the last days? I don't understand.
Okay, that's I'll go again. So we read in the book of Revelation that actually in Matthew chapter 24, it's called the Abomination of Desolation, and it's also in the book of Daniel. So the abomination of desolation is the desolation of the temple. So when it suffered its first desolation, a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a descendant, not a descendant, but one of the generals of Alexander the Great, he actually went into the holy place. The temple and the Holy of Holies, and he sacrificed pig blood in the temple. So in that temple, the Abomination of Desolation was Antiochus Epiphanes, who basically ransacked Jerusalem and took over the temple and took over the city of Jerusalem. Terrible man. The second Abomination of Desolation was the Romans in 70 AD. So Herod built a temple, and the Romans smashed it. They leveled it to the ground, and they offered sacrifices in the temple to the Roman gods. So those are the two abominations of desolation, Solomon's time and then Herod's temple, as it's called. So Scripture says, in the last days, there will be another abomination. In fact, here's what Jesus says. When you see the abomination of desolation, Matthew 24, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then now you'll know you're in the last days. So here's the connection. The connection is, if you have a red heifer, if a red heifer is showing up, then that must mean that a temple is going to be rebuilt, a third temple. And how do we know? Because that third temple is also going to suffer an abomination of desolation. So people get excited because when you see a red heifer, it means we're getting close to the rebuilding of a temple. And if we're getting close to the rebuilding of a temple, that must mean that we're in the last days. We're getting close to the book of Revelation, starting in chapter 6. And it means then that Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, comes to a conclusion in Revelation 19.
So then, before these three red heifers were seen, we assume that we didn't have any ashes of previous red heifers?
No, there hasn't been a need, right? I mean, there have been nine red heifers that have, you know, been burned up and turned into ashes. And that provided enough ashes for a number of years. They can mix it with water. You know, they didn't use all the ashes at once. So they would only kill a red heifer and burn up the ashes when there was a need for more ashes. So in history, there have been nine red heifers. Now, since those have all been gone, because the temple has been destroyed, so there hasn't been a need for the ashes of a red heifer. But the fact that all of a sudden red heifers haven't been seen in a long time, hundreds of years probably. Mm. But now all of a sudden red heifers are showing, you know, these three red heifers show up and you go like, wait a minute, is this a premonition? You know, is this right. a prelude to the fact that the red heifer is used in the temple? The red heifer is showing up, therefore the temple must be part of the equation. The third temple must be part of the equation. There's a group of people, you can check it out. There's an organization in Israel called the Temple Institute. And they actually are studying all of the sacrificial system, all the special candelabra, all the utensils, all of the vials, they're studying everything about the sacrificial system because they want to be ready when it's time to rebuild the temple. They want to have everything in place with all, like they're getting all the architectural plans and everything necessary for the sacrificial system to be rebuilt again. And some believe that part of the covenant.
So they're going to build like the tabernacle?
No. Again? They're going to build a temple. The tabernacle was in the wilderness. It was a tent. The temple is a permanent building. So yeah.
So there's a most holy place in a temple as well?
Yeah.
Like a holy of the holies?
Yeah. So the three parts, a simple way to remember the temple and the tabernacle is there's three parts to it. There's an outer court. And the outer court includes the court of the women and the court of the Gentiles. So the outer court was a place where women could come and be part of the sacrifice and worship the Lord. And there was a place where the nations could come. It was called the court of the Gentiles. By the way, the court of the Gentiles is the area where all of the business was being conducted that Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple because they basically, the Gentile space was taken away by merchandise. And so then the second area, that's the outer court. Then there is the holy place, right? The holy place is where all of the sacrifices and all the burning took place. So a person would